Welcome back to the Travel Adventures Podcast, where today we are talking about Yuri Gagarin, space shuttles, and what they have in common. Stay tuned to find out more.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for boarding Travel Adventure Airlines. We are about to take off on a brand new podcast. We hope that you enjoy learning traveling tips today. Enjoy the podcast.
April 12th is famous for two major events in space history. The first record goes to the USSR on April 12th, 1961, when Colonel Yuri Gagarin flew into space. This seems very commonplace now, but allow me to explain. Gagarin was born on a farm west of Moscow on March 9th, 1934. Yuri joined the Russian Air Force in 1955 and graduated from the Soviet Air Force Academy with honors in 1957. He was then selected for cosmonaut training in 1959. Gagarin was one of 20 men chosen for elite training, from which the first cosmonauts would be chosen. Gagarin and the other prospective candidates were subjected to experiments designed to test physical and psychological endurance. Gagarin was only 5.2 inches tall, which worked to his advantage as space in the Vostok cockpit was very small. Now, while Gagarin flew only one space mission, it was an important and historic mission. Gagarin had found himself in the midst of the space race. The US and the USSR were in a heated competition to see who could put the first man into space. Now, during the Cold War era, it seemed crucial to both nations to show their superiority in the heavens. Rockets were tested and launched, and they launched dogs, cats, and other animals into space to see what the effects of space would have on life. But the biggest achievement would be to put a man into orbit. This is what Yuri Gagarin trained for, and all his training came to fruition on April 12, 1961. Gagarin lifted off in a Vostok 1 spaceship, in which he traveled at a speed of 27,400 kilometers per hour. He launched at 9:07, orbited once, and landed. His orbit lasted 1 hour and 40 minutes, making him the Columbus of the cosmos. Now, while in orbit, Gagarin had no control over his spacecraft. The re-entry of the Vostok was controlled by a computer program that was sending radio commands to the capsule. He ejected and parachuted to Earth. This flight made him a global celebrity, and he toured widely to promote the Soviet achievement. Now, sadly, the Columbus of the cosmos, the first man in space, Yuri Gagarin, was involved in an accident during a routine training flight on March 27, 1968. Both he and his flight instructor died when his MiG-15 crashed. This Russian hero was cremated, and his ashes were buried in the walls of the Kremlin on Red Square. The Soviets' success was a major blow to the U.S. space industry. You see, it had been planned for Alan Shepard to launch early in 1961, but some problems had arisen with the Mercury Redstone rocket for Shepard's mission on previous test flights, and the team, including chief rocket designer Werner von Braun, wanted to work out all the kinks before they risked a human life. The test flight took place on March 24, 1961, pushing Shepard's flight back. It seems that the U.S. officials apparently didn't know how close the Soviets were to launching a Mir 3 weeks later. Had they known, there might have been a greater sense of urgency to put Shepard into space. Well, Shepard launched less than a month later, in Freedom 7, on May 5, 1961. The launch took off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Freedom 7 reached suborbital space, lasted only 15 minutes before splashing down in the Atlantic Ocean, 302 miles from the launch site. Though this was a great success for the U.S. space industry, the Soviets had had a greater success by staying in space for 108 minutes. The U.S. could not duplicate the Soviets' feat until February 1962, when John Glenn orbited the Earth. The success on the part of the Soviets could have demoralized the U.S. Rather, it set a fire under the Americans to get a man into space and to go a step further and beat the Russians to the moon. The first American success was on July 20, 1969, when Neil Armstrong became the first American and the first man to set foot on the moon. The Soviets' success was a major blow to the U.S. space industry. You see, it had been planned for Alan Shepard to launch early in 1961, but some problems had arisen with the Mercury Redstone rocket for Shepard's mission on previous test flights, and the team, including chief rocket designer Wernher von Braun, wanted to work out all the kinks before they risked a human life. The test flight took place on March 24, 1961, pushing Shepard's flight back. It seems that the U.S. officials apparently didn't know how close the Soviets were to launching a Mir 3 weeks later. Had they known, there might have been a greater sense of urgency to put Shepard into space. Well, Shepard launched less than a month later, in Freedom 7, on May 5, 1961. The launch took off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Freedom 7 reached suborbital space, lasted only 15 minutes before splashing down in the Atlantic Ocean, 302 miles from the launch site. Though this was a great success for the U.S. space industry, the Soviets had had a greater success by staying in space for 108 minutes. The U.S. could not duplicate the Soviets' feat until February 1962, when John Glenn orbited the Earth. Let's go back in time a little bit before the Apollo moon landing, when plans were already being designed for a space shuttle. The reason to design a space shuttle was simple. The U.S. wanted a way to ferry crew and supplies, and roughly 20,000 pounds of supplies at a time, into space. Now, there were four original ideas to consider when designing the next era of spacecrafts. What exactly would it be used for? That was the main question. Now, here are the four major options that faced the National Aeronautics and Space Council, NASA. So here are the four plans that they were working on. So number one, a human mission to Mars. Two, a follow-on lunar program. Three, a low Earth orbital infrastructure program. Or number four, discontinuing manned space activities altogether. Now, we obviously know number four didn't happen, and number one and number two didn't happen. So obviously the answer is three. They decided to go with a low Earth orbital infrastructure program. And that was the decision that they made. So based on this information, four companies, Lockheed Air, McDonnell Douglas, Grumman, and North American Rockwell, all offered their plans for a space shuttle design. Now, McDonnell Douglas's idea was way too expensive. Grumman, though they had a great plan, also had a hefty price tag to build a space shuttle. Lockheed Martin's shuttle, I guess they were called Lockheed Martin back then. I guess they were Lockheed Air, sorry. They became Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Air's shuttle was too complex, but the plan submitted by North American Rockwell had the lowest cost and the easiest design for ongoing maintenance. So that is so important. The idea behind these shuttles was to be used more than once. So I think it was said that each shuttle would have a lifespan of 100 missions. So it was decided on July 26, 1972, that Rockwell would be the builder of the space shuttle program. Now, the space shuttle program was the fourth human spaceflight program carried out by NASA. Others included Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo. Now, the space shuttle would be different from previous spacecrafts and space missions in many ways. One is that the shuttle would be reusable. Two, it would return to Earth and land like an airplane. Third, it was not going an extremely far distance. It was not going to try to leave Earth's orbit. It wasn't going to try to like orbit around the moon. And so there was different things and different ways that it would have to work. Now you might be asking, you know, why all this background information? You know, it's a little, you know, I thought we were talking about a specific date. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about April 12th. And this date is important because it was on April 12th, 1981, on the 20th anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's spaceflight, 20 years after the first man traveled into space, that a new kind of spacecraft lifted off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Now, while Space Shuttle Columbia was delivered to KSC in March of 1979, her maiden voyage beyond Earth's atmosphere did not come until April 12, 1981. With the successful maiden voyage, Columbia moved moved the U.S. into a new era of space travel. From 1981 till 2011, when sadly, the space shuttle program came to a premature end, 833 crew members took part in 135 missions aboard Space Shuttle Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, Atlantis, and Endeavour. In those years, sadly, there were two horrific tragedies concerning the shuttle. First was in the early 1980s, 1986, when Space Shuttle Challenger blew up on during launch, and then in February 1st, 2003, when Space Shuttle Columbia just came apart upon re-entry into Earth's atmosphere. But these 135 missions, they tested man, machine, and they tested the imagination. Now, I grew up during the era of the space shuttle. I grew up at the end, you know, after Challenger had you know, met its demise. But I grew up during this era. I am older than the baby of the space shuttle fleet. Shuttle Endeavour is younger than I am. But I remember as a child walking out to my front yard to watch not just a rocket, but a spaceship with a cool name on it carry men and women into orbit where they would build the International Space Station, launch satellites, repair Hubble, and bring back such amazing pictures of space and of Earth. I remember going out to the Space Center when I could walk around inside the VAB, Vehicle Assembly Building, drive around the launch pad, stand next to a crawler that, at its top speed when nothing was on it, could move about 5 miles an hour, talk to an astronaut, the one I remember most is Jim Kelly, and just be in awe of all that surrounded me. So for me, April 12th is a special day, a day that is part of my childhood, a part of my life, that I will not soon forget. For many, space is just a waste of money or just a fantasy to see what's beyond Earth's atmosphere. But for me, space is so intriguing. Just the amount of knowledge it takes to send something into space and bring it back with people on board, and to bring them back safely. But to be able to see the views from space, from the International Space Station, or from the shuttles, or even now going into the future with these new rockets that are going to be going up with SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Boeing, and just to see, to look back on Earth and to be able to see where I'm standing, it's just so cool. To me, it's intriguing, and I enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, that's fine. But I do, and I enjoy talking about it. And so when I learned that April 12th had two very important dates, or two important dates in space history, I want to talk about them, because they are very key dates in human spaceflight. So I hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit about these two great events, the first man into space and the first shuttle into space. It's definitely very interesting to me. So I hope you enjoyed it. But thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you will check me out on my other content. Check my other content out, whatever the right terminology is, on Instagram at Travel Adventures with Amy. Check out the videos. I have a video on space exploration on YouTube at Travel Adventures with Amy. You can also find my blog, tawithamy.wordpress.com. And you can see my Pinterest boards as well. I might have some things about space there also. So thank you so much for listening. Tune in next time for the next Travel Adventures podcast. The Soviets' success was a major blow to the U.S. space industry. You see, it had been planned for Alan Shepard to launch early in 1961. But some problems had arisen with the Mercury Redstone rocket for Shepard's mission on previous test flights. And the team, including chief rocket designer Werner von Braun, wanted to work out all the kinks before they risked a human life. The test flight took place on March 24, 1961, pushing Shepard's flight back. It seems that the U.S. officials apparently didn't know how close the Soviets were to launching a Mir 3 weeks later. Had they known, there might have been a greater sense of urgency to put Shepard into space. Well, Shepard launched less than a month later, in Freedom 7, on May 5, 1961. The launch took off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Freedom 7 reached suborbital space, lasted only 15 minutes before splashing down in the Atlantic Ocean, 302 miles from the launch site. Though this was a great success for the U.S. space industry, the Soviets had had a greater success by staying in space for 108 minutes. The U.S. could not duplicate the Soviets' feat until February 1962, when John Glenn orbited the Earth. Let's shift gears for a moment and go back even before the Apollo moon landings, to when plans were already being designed for a space shuttle. The reason to design a space shuttle was simple. The USA wanted a way to ferry crew and supplies. And that, so just so you know, my recordings never come out this clearly the first time. You know, if you've heard them and maybe they sound really good, no, you don't know how many times I have stopped and deleted things. It's just, you have no idea.